And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Yo, what's up? What's the good word? How are you? Good to be with you. Happy Thursday. It's officially the back half of our work week. My name is David Tewksbury. Happy to be with you on this Thirsty Thursday. I've got my coffee here in hand. We are ready to rock and roll. State volleyball tournament's officially underway today. We'll have all the details of that. We'll take a look at the bracket for A, B, and C. No, double A as well. Wouldn't that make more sense? Here in South Dakota, A, B, and C? No. But it is A, B, and double A. We'll talk about that. And then coming up towards the bottom of the hour, the head coach of the Patriots of Hitchcock-Tulare, Jordan Opp. He'll be joining us right around 10:30. So looking forward to that discussion with him. And looking forward to a long, long, long weekend ahead of us as we look ahead for the state champions to be crowned again. This is the first day of three. So it's today, tomorrow, and then on Saturday night. It's all there at the Sioux Falls, or at the Denny Sanford Premier Center in Sioux Falls. Three different courts, three matches. Hopefully the ball boys and ball girls out there will not allow any stray balls to roll onto any different courts, and hopefully we have no injuries and everybody has a lot of fun down there in Sioux Falls today, and looking forward to the show Thursday morning as well. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing? You know what's going to be cool with the Jordan Opp interview? He's going to be live from the Denny.
Yeah.
We're going to be in the middle of practice.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm going to be in the middle of practice, but I'll give you guys a call.
Yeah, I like
making
that.
Making time.
I appreciate that. We appreciate coaches that make time, you know? Don't you love that?
Yeah.
You know, some coaches are like, yeah, we're doing this, this, and this. Can't make it happen. It's like, all right, well, I understand that. But the coaches that make time for you, oh, we like you.
Yeah, Jordan Opp, he was like, yeah, we're going to be in the middle of something, but I'm happy to join you guys. So looking forward to that discussion. Only two losses for them all year, man.
Yeah, they've had a really, really good year. They really have had a very, very solid season for sure. And we'll talk with Coach Opp coming up towards the bottom of the hour. But this is interesting. You've got three games, or three matches, I guess, more accurately, going on at the exact same time. I see from time to time people talk about this. Should they be scattered times? You start one game earlier, maybe half an hour earlier or 45 minutes later. Or are you cool with all three games or all three matches going on at the exact same time?
I think I'm all right with it. I mean, you want to be there all day, every day? I mean, you want to get this thing done at some point. I mean, I think you could maybe do that, but it could be a little bit confusing. I remember watching it last year. I actually enjoyed the three matches at once. I don't know what you thought about that.
I think it's interesting. It's definitely different. I would say for championship Saturday night,
yes.
I think you could probably change it. I do. I think you could probably move some of the seventh and consolation championships a little bit earlier.
I agree with that.
I could see that being a thing. You know, you want to start those maybe at 10:30 or 11 in the morning. I know that's early. I get that. And it's not ideal. It's not ideal for anybody. But I think those coaches and players would say, we'd love to be playing at night anyway. We had chances to be playing at night. So I think for championship Saturday night, I think you can kind of stagger them a little bit better. I think that's not an unreasonable request.
No, I totally agree with you on that. Championship Saturday, I agree. But these first round matchups, I'm fine with them saying, hey, we want to get this done, I guess you could say, with all three matches at once. But as the tournament moves along, those semifinal matches, you could even do that for Friday night, too, because, like, kind of scatter them a little bit. Those semifinal ones could be a little bit different as well from the games that kind of the loser's bracket. They don't need to be at the same time, I think. I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So we'll talk about all things volleyball coming up towards the bottom of the hour. Jordan Opp, he'll be joining us right around 10:30. The NSIC football conference, all-conference list is officially out. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a few. And I said earlier, I sent out a tweet. I said, if Jake Adams isn't named first team all-conference, I'm rioting. And
you guys are going to get a nasty email.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how that all plays out. We'll take a look at that and much, much, much more coming up during our show here today. Some non-con basketball from last night within the NSIC, the GPAC, and the North Star. One matchup that got nixed as well. Minot State was supposed to play host to Jamestown there last night for men's basketball. That matchup got postponed to today because of weather. So here we are. We're officially... Do I have to do this? Do I have to do this, Matt? Do I have to do this right now?
I think it's too early to do it
okay.
right now.
All right. Okay. So that matchup was postponed to today. We're not going to go there. We're not going to go there. If you know, you know.
Yes.
If you're listening to the show right now, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know, well, then clearly you're not a friend of ours and not a friend of the program. But it's November 21st. I don't want to go all in right now.
No, not yet. When we get to January, we might need to remind some folks.
Okay, looking forward to that. So we'll talk about that and much more today here on the Sports Hub. Plus, the final regional rankings have officially been released for the NSIC and from the MIAA, as well as the GAC. We'll talk about that and much, much, much more. But first and foremost, let's go ahead and get to the this portion of our program that we like to call The Jump.
Mr. Unlimited.
With that guy. He is Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Shoot him a follow on the old X at the underscore Cobra 66. And let's go ahead and get to that. We've got a couple of local jump-worthy notes here today on FSA. And it all starts up with awards and also some commitments. I love to follow these commitments of these juniors and seniors in high school, in regional schools that are going to be playing fill in the sport at the next level. We'll talk about that here in just 1 second. One guy that played some hoop down in Howard has officially committed. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first and foremost, on the local side of things, a big shout out to Joey Dahlman of Aberdeen Central. He has officially been named All-State Honorable Mention for a fullback. Big shout out to Joey. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, really. I saw that last night as well, and I thought, well, that's a pretty cool award, I guess, to be recognized for that. And Joey, he was a do-it-all type player. We talked to Justin Breeze, head coach of Aberdeen Central, about him. A lot of fun to watch. By the end of the year, he was playing quarterback. I mean, just you could put him in the slot. You could play him at running back, fullback, tight end. It didn't matter. Just did what he needed for the team. And, man, he had a really nice year. He's only a junior. He's coming back, obviously, for a senior season. So, wow, what a season he had. And congratulations, Joey, on a great year.
Yeah, no question about it. So a big shout-out to him, to be sure. And looking forward to seeing what he's got in white, blue, and gold coming up next year. Now, on the commitment side of things, a big shout-out goes to a guy that was absolutely masterful down the stretch at the State B tournament last year right here in Aberdeen, Luke Kepsel of Howard. Congratulations to him. He's a really good basketball player. But you know something? He is committed to play baseball.
Okay.
He is officially committed to play baseball for Dakota Wesleyan. He had just verbaled yesterday, so a big shout-out to him. Luke Kepsel playing some baseball there at D-Dub. And one thing that's kind of cool, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm not trying to put this thought into his head, but I'm going to. You never say never with some of these NAIA guys to play two sports, to be a dual-sport athlete. Now, that's really hard to do at the D1 level, almost impossible. I don't think I've ever seen it before. It's not to say it hasn't happened. It's really, really tough to do at the D2 level. You see some football and track and field guys from time to time, very seldom. But NAIA, you start to see it a little bit more so. It's not easy to do, but if there's a guy to do it, maybe Luke Kepsel.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was the first thought that popped into my head, if I'm honest. You know, he's a great basketball player. He's a great football player as well. We talked with Pat Rommel earlier this week about his contributions, but going to play baseball, it's funny. I had the same thought process too, because I wonder if he'd maybe try to play another sport like football in the fall or something like that. But yeah, congratulations to him. Baseball, tough sport to be committed to like that, because it's a year-round type sports, whether it's hitting in the batting cages, tee, work, whatever it may be. Congratulations to him, and looking forward to seeing how he does there on the baseball side of things moving forward. But he's still got another year of basketball left.
Yeah, and looking forward to seeing what those guys look like on the hardwood coming up in
less than a month, 3 weeks,
something like that.
Yeah, Central season starts December 13th. Mm-hmm. So what's that, 3.5 weeks
yeah,
away?
3-4 weeks,
yeah,
give or take. Yeah, looking forward to that as well. And going to be a lot of fun for some high school basketball. I cannot believe it's almost high school basketball season. That conference play starts up tonight for Northern.
Yeah.
You married tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. I just talked with head coach Rick Newman about 25 minutes ago. Really fun discussion with him. And I tell you what, man, particularly on the women's side of things, I mean, all coaches that I've talked to in this conference, men and women for basketball, I really haven't come across any coaches that you just like, I really don't want to talk to. That guy just, that gal.
I'm dreading this interview kind of thing.
I haven't come across any of those yet, but particularly on the women's side, there's some really fun coaches in this conference, and Rick Newman's one of those. And I said to him jokingly, I said, we should start, like, after games, like just splitting a six-pack, you, me, Coach Kruger. We could have a really fun podcast.
Yeah. Now,
it'd probably be kind of strange right after a game after one just beat the other.
Yes.
But that'd have to be like
a summertime.
Might
be a little
thing.
Awkward, but
a little
yeah.
awkward, yeah.
But yeah, I mean.
Why'd you throw that 2-3 zone at us? Huh? Did you really have to foul that hard in that situation? I get it. You're trying to foul and you got to cut us at the free throw line, but come on, what are we doing?
Yeah, one of those 50-50 calls that the ref calls and it goes one way. And you just get two different opinions on it. That would be pretty fun.
Yeah, but good stuff there. Hear that conversation coming up during pregame show along with Coach Kruger's Corner as well. So you mentioned you're looking forward to seeing Luke Kuepsel play, and I am too. One thing I am not looking forward to is Thanksgiving in terms of the slate of games. And it looks like three kind of stinkers. Now, I'm a football psycho, so I'm probably going to watch anyway, and I'm addicted.
Yeah, I'll probably watch a couple of them.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things. It's just like, do I really have to watch this? Well, from the Cowboys and Giants perspective, you've got the Cooper Rush and Tommy DeVito Bowl.
Tommy Cutlets.
Yeah. By the way, what happened to Drew Lock? Drew Lock's number two the whole season, and then somehow, some way, Tommy DeVito? It's like a mob hit or something. It's like, hey, you really should start this. Boy, it would be a real shame if you don't start Tommy DeVito on Thursday night against the Dallas Cowboys. Drew Lock's good, but Tommy DeVito, he's your boy.
They're just going for the
broke.
The it factor there. Yeah. That's the only thing they're doing. Like, hey, how can we make people interested this season? Let's play Tommy DeVito because he was in the headlines last year.
Yeah, I think his agent made him offer he couldn't refuse.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that. Remember that guy on
yes,
the sideline?
Yes.
Anyways, big shout out to the fans there in Big D for having to watch this thing. I saw this down in Big D, Dallas, in Jerry World. There are tickets that are being sold for only $25.
Really?
$25 to go to Jerry World and watch a game on Thanksgiving, Cowboys and Giants. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Thanksgiving turkeys are more than that. So you can watch an NFL football game. Now, granted, the seats aren't exactly the best, but you know, you're probably going to pay more for a Thanksgiving turkey than to watch that game on Thursday next
week. Wow. That's not bad. $25, I know it's bad football, but if you're like one of those people that, hey, I've never been to the new AT&T Stadium in Dallas, and you check tickets and you're not doing anything for Thanksgiving. Now, I don't get the whole let's go to a football game for Thanksgiving people. Same with Christmas. Like, I don't get the people that are like, hey, let's go to an NBA Christmas or NFL game. I mean, that's just me. But if you're got nothing to do and you're like, hey, I want to check out the Cowboys, I've never seen the stadium. I mean, we're just strictly talking the stadium, not
right.
the team. That's not a bad deal.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal at all. And I don't know if I should say this or not, but this is the God's honest truth, and you're always going to get the truth from me. But you know how much I love calling games. Football, basketball, volleyball, same thing for you. Mm-hmm. We love calling games. It's a huge passion of us. It's our lives. But the fact that the Northern Men don't have a Dakota Bank Classic around Thanksgiving, I'm okay with that this year.
Yeah.
I am. I get to see my family. I get to have my parents come out to visit us. I get to spend actual time with my daughter. Like, I love calling games, but the opportunity to actually spend some family time, I'm not mad about that at all.
When is their next game? After, do they play Saturday at Jamestown? They don't play for a week then? Is that
I think
how
they'll
works?
Be playing...
Or like before Thanksgiving, and then they don't play until after the holiday?
It'll be after Thanksgiving. They'll be taking on, I believe, Moorhead on the 5th.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
that's not bad.
Yeah, they got a little bit of time off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, those kids, those student-athletes, they want to spend some time with mom and dad and their brothers and sisters.
Cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I don't think that's a hot take. And it's like, this guy doesn't want to call games anymore.
No.
Every once in a blue moon, I want to spend some time with my family.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. All right, coming up next on the show, the NSIC All-Conference Football Team has officially been released, and I guess I don't have to riot. We'll talk about that coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Then towards the bottom of the hour, Jordan Opp, the head coach of the Hitchcock Tulare Patriots, will join us. Sports Hub rocking and rolling on this thirsty Thursday. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. And you heard that commercial in there. Just a little friendly reminder. Northern State having their Sideliners Luncheon Series. That's today at 12 noon. So if you're thinking, lunch, what do I do? Well, look at Buffalo Wild Wings at 12 noon today. Hear from the basketball coaches and NSU wrestling program alike there. So good stuff there. So I'm partially tempted to not go fully all into this list because it literally just came out. And I want to really probably dissect this and say, I don't know about this guy. Maybe take him off. Maybe add him, this, that, and the third. But it just did come out. The NSIC All-Conference Football Team has officially been released. And I kind of joked. I said, well, if Jake Adams doesn't make first-team All-Conference, I am rioting. Well, I guess I need to put the riot gear away because Jake Adams, indeed, a first-team All-Conference honoree. A big shout-out to him. This is just strictly on the Northern State side of things. We'll take a look at this here first and foremost. Big shout-out to Jake Adams, first-team All-Conference guy. And how about a huge shout-out as well to Agent Zero, Keegan Mountain, first-team All-Conference guy as well. He led the NSIC in interceptions this season. He was outstanding, had a couple of huge interceptions in crucial times and games. I think the most noteworthy for me might be the Wayne game on the road and just basically ripping the ball away from a tight end, which just does not happen. I don't know if you know this or not, but Keegan Mountain is not a 6'3", 235-pound cornerback. He is not that big of a dude, and to just out-muscle a guy, especially a tight end, was a pretty phenomenal play. So a big shout-out to him. Those are your two first-team all-conference players for Northern State football. Certainly no gripes with that. We do have some second-teamers as well, and that is also on the defensive side of the field. Luke Gunderson, linebacker. Of course, he's a senior as well. He'll be wrapping up his collegiate career here now this last year. And then Max Van Landingham, he'll be back next year, technically a graduate student, but has another year of eligibility. So Max Van Landingham and Luke Gunderson, both players picking up second-team all-conference honorees for Northern State. And that's the list. Two guys first-team, two guys second-team. And we're kind of talking off the air a little bit. Thought that there might be some love to the Northern State offensive line for the stretch that they had in this season where you take on Winona State, Bemidji State, Duluth. That's a three-game slate in and of itself that you really, really have to be solid at the offensive line perspective. And at the time that Northern State played Duluth, it was on the road, Duluth had 25 sacks. They led the entire country in sacks. And Northern surrendered zero sacks on the road there at Mulaski Stadium. By the way, won the game 24-21 with Jeremy Caruso's 38-yard field goal for the win. But in a five-game stretch, which is basically half the season, they surrendered one sack and zero love for the Northern State offensive line. I got a bit of an issue with that.
Yeah, I think they should have gotten at least an offensive lineman there on either second team. I think they deserve that. You mentioned it. Tough stretch there in the middle of the season. And they didn't get. They gave up, what, one sack? I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, I think they need to be, at least one of those guys needs to be recognized in second team. And I think a guy like, I mean, we were talking a little bit off the air, like Jacob Schlow could maybe be one of those guys that could have been recognized in a situation like that. But it is what it is. But I do believe they got robbed from that perspective.
Yeah, not a whole lot of love from the Northern State offensive perspective this year. No guys were named first or second team. My thing is this, though. Where's an honorable mention list?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, you've got a first-team all-conference list. Great. Everyone has that. You got a second-team all-conference list. That's fantastic. Everybody has that. Where's your honorable mentions?
I agree.
How do you not have that?
Yeah, you got to have an honorable mention list. I think you'd see a little bit more love for Northern State, whether it's another defensive player or a couple guys on offense. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, some honorable mentions. Certainly, you'd have like a Charlie Larson on there, a Matthew Baker. You know, certainly maybe like a Logan Grossinger or something
running
like
backs.
That. Yeah, Wyatt Block, Hank Kraft had good seasons. How do you not have an honorable mentions? I don't know. I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
What's your thoughts on the coach of the year?
Jerry Olszewski's awesome. Great coach there for Augustana. He is the NSIC coach of the year. Let's go ahead and run down these, I guess, fully. The NSIC offensive player of the year is Jared Epperson. That guy is just an absolute freak. He is so, so talented. Great running back there for Augustana. He ran for a little less than 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. He even missed a game there as well. He got knocked out of that SDSU game, and I think it was the Northern game that he missed, as a matter of fact. So he is your NSIC offensive player of the year. The NSIC Defensive Player of the Year is Peyton Buckley of Augustana, 76 tackles, including 7.5 TFLs, and he was very, very solid indeed. He had 8 PBUs and 9 passes defensed, also had 2 interceptions there as well. Peyton Buckley, your NSIC Defensive Player of the Year. NSIC Offensive Newcomer of the Year is Sam Backer. He is the running back there from Minnesota State Mankato. NSIC Defensive Newcomer of the Year is Andy Henson from USF. Your NSIC Coach of the Year is Augustana's Jerry Olszewski in his 12th year at the helm. And the NSIC Assistant Coach of the Year is Joe Ford in his second year at the helm there for Bemidji State. Now, you asked me, what do I think about Jerry Olszewski winning the Coach of the Year? You can't argue with it too much because the team won the whole thing and they're the two-time NSIC champion. I totally understand that. No one's going to say, oh, this guy is undeserving. No one's going to say that.
Yeah.
But.
There is a but.
There is a but in there. From our perspective.
Yes.
Northern State, they start off 0-4. This team is going nowhere.
Zero.
Hold on a minute. You're going to win six of your final seven games, and you're going to beat really, really good programs in the mix of doing that. You're going to beat Winona. You're going to beat Bemidji. You're going to beat Duluth on the road. You go on the road and beat CSP, who defeated Moorhead earlier on this season as well, or almost defeated Moorhead, who defeated Augustana. So, and then you're going to go on the road and beat Wayne, and you're going to be right there nip and tuck with MSU Mankato.
It's close.
Maybe it's me being a homer, but how easy would it have been for that program to just go completely belly up this last year and just basically punt on the season? But instead, no, they got off death ground and they won six of their final seven games, five games straight.
Against good competition.
Against some great teams. And everybody expected Augustana to be great anyway.
Yes.
And that's just the thing. Is Augustana, they're a great team. They're well coached. No one's going to disagree with that. You've got the offensive player of the year on your team anyway. You've got the defensive player of the year. So what can you look at and say, well, this team doesn't really have a whole lot. Like, you look at the Northern State offense. They've got no all-conference players.
Yes.
And to win six of your seven games with apparently no all-conference players, how can you not say the coaching staff did an incredible job?
Yep, I'm with you, man. I saw that, and that's the first thing that I saw. You know, not even just the players and the first team, second team. I thought Mike Schmidt was going to win that, just considering of where the team started, how they finished, and to have no all-conference players on offense. I mean, pretty good to win 6-7, but I mean, to your point, you can't really complain about it because this coach for Augustana, I mean, they've won three of the four NSIC championships. They've been to the playoffs five times. He's a big-time coach. But if we're talking off of this year, I feel like Coach of the Year maybe be a surprise, right?
Well, how about Ian Shields of Minot?
Yeah.
I mean, how bad was Minot for a lot of years?
Yes.
He completely turned that program around. So if it's not Mike Schmidt, all right, well, you guys are being a bunch of homers. How about Ian Shields of Minot State?
Yeah, I think that award's maybe to a team that, like you said, maybe had a bad year or, like in Northern States, a bad start to the year. They finished strong. So I'd be cool with either one of those guys. I'm not saying that Coach Olszewski doesn't deserve this at all.
We're not saying that.
No,
he's a great coach.
No, he's a great coach. What we're saying is I think there could have been maybe another coach – a more deserving considering the factors that we're looking at here.
How did you perform realistic to expectation?
Yeah.
That's really what it kind of comes down to for me. Now, the media people, we have zero impact on this poll. This is a strictly coaching awards kind of thing. So if people expect you to be great and you're great, well, that's fantastic. But if everybody expects you to be nothing and you turn out to be a really good team.
Yes.
Shouldn't that count for something?
I agree. That's where I'm at with it. That's the big reason why I looked at it and raised an eyebrow, because of the expectations that, you know, a team like Minot, a team like Northern had, and they were able to kind of turn the season around. I think that has a lot to do with coaching. Not saying that Augustana, listen, they were picked to be top of the league. I know they weren't preseason, but this is a very successful program, and they just proved everybody right that they're a really good team. But I think we could have possibly seen somebody different there.
Look at Minot State. Most points ever in the D2 era. Fewest points allowed. Lowest total defense. Most wins. Most points in a game in the D2 era. Most points per game. Most points in a game. We mentioned all that. Okay, so those are all those numbers that were basically people expecting not a whole lot of Minot State this year because they've been in the cellar for so many years. I think that might go. That would be my vote. A co-coach of the year.
Yes.
Mike Schmidt, Ian Shields.
Shields, yep. I'm cool with that. 100% I'm cool with that.
Yeah. But, you know.
It is what it is.
You win the conference and you get that accolade. And good on you, you know, certainly. But I think for me, if I were voting on this, I would go and place my vote on what you did.
Based on expectations.
Based on expectations. If nobody had any expectations for you and you actually turned out to be a good team, that means something to me.
Yeah,
if,
and that has a lot to do with coaching.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And the flip side of that is if everybody expects you to be great and then you are great, that should count as something too.
Yes.
I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I totally get that because everybody's gunning for you. Everybody knows that you're supposed to be good. And then you are good, so that should count for something too. It's one of those deals, but, you know.
I mean, and maybe a lot has to do with it. With, you know, you got the offensive player of the year. You got the defensive player of the year. Maybe that has something to do with it as well. I mean, you were reading off those Peyton Buckley stats.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. The guy plays defensive back, and he's putting up those numbers. It's not like he's a linebacker, defensive lineman. He's in the secondary putting up those kinds of numbers. That's crazy.
Yeah.
7.5 tackles for losses, a defensive back. Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of like your
strong safety. You know, it kind of pictures when I heard those stats, I'm immediately thinking of a guy like Kyle Hamilton, who he's a strong safety, but he plays kind of that linebacker role in the run game, something like that.
That's exactly what Cam Chancellor used to be for the Seahawks. Box safety. Oh, no, he can actually cover, too. Yeah, he can also rush the passer if you need him to be. Kind of like a bad example. Jamal Adams can't catch a cold in the middle of January if he was.
Cam Chancellor, I think, is a perfect comparison to it. As a Ravens fan, somebody that comes to my mind is like not Ed Reed because he was more of a ball hawk type guy, but like a Bernard Pollard when he was on those early 2010s Ravens teams. Like, he would be great in the run game. He could also play in the secondary as well, but that would be a comparison as a Homer Ravens fan, that somebody that popped into my head.
Yeah, Buckley's not as big as those guys,
yes,
but the production is kind of like those guys to a certain degree. So big shout-out to all the coaches, players, and everybody this last season. Those are your all-conference lists. We'll get that posted following the show on HubCityRadio.com. We're talking some volleyball coming up next. Jordan Opp, the head coach of the Patriots of Hitchcock-Tulare, he'll join us. It's the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. A fun discussion talking about the NSIC All-Conference football team that's officially been announced. Again, a big shout-out to Northern State and Keegan Mountain and Jake Adams, first-team All-Conference guys, while Max Van Landingham and also Luke Gunderson, second-team All-Conference honorees for the Northern State Wolves. That's on the gridiron. We go from there to the hardwood as we'll travel down south to Sioux Falls. Jordan Opp is the head coach of the Patriots of Hitchcock-Tulare. He joins us on my phone line. Coach, good to talk with you here this morning. How are you?
Good. Nice to talk with you guys again.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. And we were talking about this in our first segment. We've got all three classes going on at the exact same time. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Is it kind of, it is what it is? As, we'll talk about you guys and the season that you guys have had, but what's your kind of two cents on that?
Well, I personally, I've been down to a lot of state tournaments just as a general fan slash, you know, coach that's not, has a team in. And as a fan and a coach, I love it. You know, all three classes, it's a great atmosphere, in the, especially in the Denny or on the Monument in Rapid City. And it's just a fun atmosphere with all three classes. Now, as a coach, I think I've talked to a lot of coaches that have been down here several times. They love it also. So I guess we'll see tonight. You know, back in 2020 when we went, it was the COVID season and they were all at separate sites. We went to Huron, and so we didn't really get to experience all three classes under one roof like we're going to get to tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like it'll be a much better experience for you guys now that, you know, you're going to have fans there. It was the COVID year, so just an overall better experience for your kids to be in front of such a great atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. Our towns are pretty pumped about going down. I know, I think we're going to have a big crowd down here tonight. We had a great send-off on Tulare yesterday, and everyone's excited. And, you know, it's been, there's been excitement in the last two, 3 weeks up in Tulare and Hitchcock, so it's nice to see.
Yeah, and there should be. I mean, you guys have had a fantastic season. It's been a lot of fun watching you guys continue to grow throughout the season. And the last time we had you on, I think it was pre the Warner match, and you weren't shy about it, saying, hey, this is a matchup we'd really love to compete in and certainly love to win. Unfortunately for you guys, Warner did take care of business against you guys there, but it was a very, very competitive match. How much could you guys kind of take away from a match like that to say, hey, all right, we really do belong with these big girls?
Yeah, we got done after the match. We were disappointed. The girls were disappointed. But we told them, hey, you know, you can play with anybody in the state. That's, you know, more, you look at Warner's schedule, I think we're the only ones that's taken them to five sets. I don't know if a lot of people expected that going in. You know, we had our chances in set one. We almost had it tied up. We missed quite a few serves in set one. And you look back, we cleaned up our errors. We probably would have beat them three out possibly. So we had our chances. We just didn't get it done. But, you know, we like our chances, again, if we meet up with them here in the state tournament.
Yeah, Coach, and when we had you on last, you thought that second half of the season was big for you guys. Just looking at your schedule here, you played seven teams with that have had a 500 record or better. So, I mean, you guys are battle-tested coming in here to the state tournament. How key was that second half of the season for you guys?
I would say that was really, really key, especially after, you know, we lost to Warner that week. And then we turned around and we lost to Miller. Not to take anything away from Miller, they're a great team. I just think when we went into that match, we were pretty down on ourselves. Yeah, from Warner, we, you know, we had to play a hard game that Tuesday night. And so we had to make a quick turnaround. And I don't think, you know, I don't think we played to our potential against Miller. And then the following week, I think that's when we went over to Castlewood and we got over there and we played Patriot volleyball. We took care of business quite easily against a good Castlewood squad. And, you know, every night out, we've been battle tested, like you said. Ipswich came down and gave us a couple great sets, but we finished strong there. And, you know, then obviously, you know, look at the regular season. We finished hard and finished strong and won seven in a row. So that was nice to see.
Yeah, Northeast South Dakota in Class B doesn't mess around, and I think you guys are a big portion of that, certainly. Jordan Opp joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and it's unfortunate that one of the two teams had to get left home, but that's the way it goes with the SODEC 16 this year. Yourself, Northwestern, couple of really great programs, storied programs for sure, and kind of getting over that proverbial hump, that's a big one because Coach Groff does an incredible job with Northwestern and has for a lot of years. How big was that one for you guys?
Well, that was huge. And like you said, Coach Groff does an amazing job with the Northwestern school, and they are more than deserving to be down here or even be in a SODEC 16 match. Anybody that was at our match that night at Tulare, I don't know if I've seen the gym as packed as it was for that match. Our side was all in blue, and of course, the Northwestern side, they had a great fan base, and it was loud, and it was just a fun and great match to be a part of. And it's like you said, it's a shame that somebody's sitting at home, you know. But again, getting past Northwestern, that was a big, you know, that was great for our team, just to kind of give us a little bit of momentum into the SODEC 16.
Yeah, and you lost that first set there, Coach, to Northwestern. What was it, 15-25, but then you were able to rattle off the next three sets. So what was kind of the message in those after that first set to be able to kind of rattle off three in a row?
I think it was just getting the girls together, knowing that, you know, we played these guys over during summer camps, and we played right with them. And I know they beat us a couple of times, but we knew that we could play with them. And we weren't playing our type of ball game, and we were making some uncharacteristic errors. And, you know, we finally settled in. And, you know, and I think don't take anything away from Northwestern. You know, they played a great first set, you know. Kind of what I saw in game film, I'm like, wow, these guys are really playing really good volleyball right then. You know, and then they kind of sets two, three, and four. I thought they kind of settled in more kind of what we normally saw in game film. And then, you know, we took care of business on our side. We got some great blocks up, and we got some great hits on our side, some great defensive plays. And I don't know if I've ever seen, as a coach, we served 88 out of 88 from the serve line.
Wow.
And 100%. I don't know if I've ever been a part of that.
Oh, wow.
I was kind of in the back of my mind set four, and I didn't say anything on the bench. I didn't want to jinx us. I was thinking in the back of my mind, I don't think we've missed a serve yet in this match. And well, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to jinx us, and we got done with the match, and we went 100% on our serves.
Yeah, good thing CBS or Fox wasn't there because Romo would have said something. Oh, this they haven't done anything all day.
And I think if yeah. I had that stat, Coach, I totally would have said something if I was broadcasting that match. But want to talk a little bit about, you know, this matchup versus Gayville-Volin. You guys are in that night session. Do you like being in that night session? Do you wish you were playing earlier? I mean, what's kind of, I guess, the routine here, being that you don't play for some time, and do you wish that you were playing earlier, or do you like being in that prime time set there tonight?
I think it'll be fun to play at night, you know. At least we'll get one night game. You know, hopefully we'll get a couple more. But, you know, we already got up this morning. We left the hotel about 7:45, ate a good breakfast, went out for breakfast at the Pancake House in Sioux Falls here, and got a good breakfast into the girls. And then we ran up to the Pentagon and practiced for about 40 minutes, just a light practice, just to touch a ball. And we're going to leave the hotel here shortly and head over to Danny Sanford just to get him acclimated to the game. The games a little bit with the crowd and whatnot, and we'll leave there and maybe get ready for tonight, obviously, and get a light lunch, and it'll be go time tonight. But I think they're ready to go. They're pretty confident, I think. They seem comfortable, and they're just having fun, and kind of they know what needs to be done.
Well, you brought up food, so I got to ask. Pancakes. are you a big pancake guy? Are you going to bacon and eggs? Like, you going full-on blowout breakfast? Like, what's on tap for you guys? Or for you, anyway?
I did an omelet this morning. It came with some pancakes. They were pretty good. So,
I'm more of a pancake guy myself over the waffles, for sure.
That's a hot take.
Is that a hot take?
I think so.
I love pancakes.
I do too, but I think the majority of people would say waffles over pancakes.
That'd be an interesting. Maybe I should put that.
I think I'd have to agree. I think I'd have to go with the pancakes over the waffles.
Okay.
Ooh, looks like you're in the minority here.
Yeah, I am.
All right.
You guys are teaming up on it. What the heck's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's either way. It's got calories, so it's going in our face. We like it. We like food here on the Sports Hub for sure. Jordan Opp joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5. Word just came out, I think it was last week, that Caitlin Schroeder is going to Northern State. Big shout out to her. She's going to be playing at the next level. I know she's been fantastic, and last time that we talked, you said, yeah, she has. But this has really been a great team for you this year. Just how fun has it been just being a coach of this team this season?
It's been great, you know. It's just a great group of girls. They're a lot of fun to be around every day in practice. I look forward to coming to practice because they give it their all. They're focused. They know what needs to be done. And like, we got so many weapons. It's just fun to watch. You know, besides Kate, we got Ella Johnson on the outside. She signed with Mount Marty to go there next year. And then we got Cora Hofer on the right side. She's coming along. She's kind of, I would say, in the first set against Northwestern, even though we lost, she kind of put the team on her back and gave us about 4 or 5 kills in that first set. And I mean, she's playing really good volleyball right now. And then, obviously, Isabel in the front row and Rebecca, our middles, they're playing well, put up some great blocks. Cambry Hookman in the back row with her being the libero. She's playing some great defense, has some great passes. And then we got Lila and Gracie setting. They're coming. You know, it's just great to have that many weapons. And we're not just, yeah, Kate's a big part of our team. But, again, everybody else chips in, and they play a big part. Somebody always steps up, it seems, night in and night out. And they don't make – they make some bigger plays. You know, they're not always consistent, but they make the big plays when it needs to be done.
No doubt.
Yeah, and Coach, you know, you taking on this Gayville-Volin team, obviously they're having a big season, 26-4. Probably a team you're not very familiar with because you didn't play them or didn't see them much this year. So what's kind of the outlook for them? What would you say is some of your biggest keys tonight?
I've watched a couple game films on them. Obviously they took Woolsey. Woolsey took them to 5 in the region, so we got the film from Woolsey on them. They have a couple great outsides that we're going to have to control and get our block up. They have a good middle that we're going to have to kind of keep our eye on. And then the right side, they have a right side here that, again, we're going to have to get our block up on. And they have a great libero. They're very scrappy on defense, so it's going to be interesting to see how they play us as far as our defense with our variety of shots and hard hits. One thing, they are fairly young. They were here last year. I think they were like 18-11 last year coming to the state tournament. They're fairly young. I don't know if they play many seniors. So we're maybe hoping that might help a little bit. But they're not a very quick offense, so that may help us too. So I think we match up pretty well. It'll be interesting. It'll be a great matchup, I think.
Well, you do realize that if you are fortunate to take care of business tonight, you will certainly be getting the winner of that Coleman-Egan and Warner matchup. But more importantly, you got to keep everything the same. I mean, you got to eat at the same breakfast place tomorrow. You got to go again with the omelet. Got to tell the squad to eat the exact same thing. Are you a big superstitious guy or not so much? We love superstition on the show.
It's kind of funny that you say that. I think one of our assistant coaches this morning said that at the breakfast table that, you know, if we win tonight, we might have to come back here tomorrow morning. Uh-huh. And have kind of the same thing to eat and tell everybody. I said, yeah, we might have to. It was very good, you know. And so, but yeah, we may have to go do that tomorrow morning again.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. All right, well, good luck tonight against Gayville Violin. Looking forward to that. 6:45 for your first serve down there at the Denny. Appreciate you doing this, Coach, and good luck tonight.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you so much. Head Coach Jordan Opp here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. That could be like the Sports Hub tagline. The Sports Hub, Monday through Friday. Big on superstition.
Yes.
We love superstition.
Yeah. If they win tonight, I think you got to do the same thing you did. You got to wake up, do, you know, 7:45 breakfast, eat the same thing. I'm with you on that. Now, I'm not the biggest superstitious guy, but mm-hmm.
I'm going to radicalize you.
I can be. I mean, I certainly can be. And I'll tell you what, they, just from hearing Coach Opp there, they got a boatload of confidence coming into this match. Obviously, Gayville Violin, he mentioned it. They've been there before. Pretty young team. They're having a great season. But this should be a great first-round match. I think it's awesome that they're playing at night, too, being that they were there during the COVID year. They didn't have the environment. He mentioned the environment they had in that Region 1 semifinal to get to the SODAC 16 versus Northwestern. So I think that community's fired up. They've had a great year, and we'll see what happens tonight, but I like them playing at night and having the opportunity to kind of showcase what they got.
We'll take a look at the rest of the brackets coming up next as it pertains to BA and AA, all down south there from Sioux Falls at the Denny. That's coming up next on FSA. It's Sports Up, Fox Sports Aberdeen. We love superstition. I'm going to make that our tagline.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that.
Like underneath when we post the pre-show, mm-hmm. the Sports Up. Give a description of what we're talking, and then just at the bottom of the graphic, we love superstition.
Yeah, or the Sports Hub superstition talk, as time permits.
Yeah, every episode.
Yeah, we'll see. So, what are you guys doing for superstition today? All right, well, he is Matt McClure. I am David Tewksbury. Follow us on the X there at Fox Sports, 1420 AM at the underscore Cobra 66, as well as at David Tewksbury, and shoot us a follow there. Other matchups within the volleyball slate, if you will. We'll start up on the B side of things. Again, this is all down south in Sioux Falls here today at the Denny Sanford Pentagon. It all starts up at the top of the hour. So it's an 11 o'clock first serve, as it'll be Chester taking on Castlewood. That's the 1-8 pairing. 4-5 is Kadoka battling Burke. Combined record of that, by the way, 64-6.
Yeah,
Kadoka was 31-3 this year. Burke was 33-3. Do you think those teams played some matches? Wow.
I think so. I saw Kadoka first time making the state tournament since 1982.
That's a pretty big deal. So, you know, that that program has been making the trip there from Kadoka. They just jump on I-90 and head straight east.
Yeah.
Because Kadoka's literally right there on 90. And a big shout-out to those folks there. 2-7, you've got Warner battling Coleman Egan. And then again, you've got the 3-6 pairing, Hitchcock-Tulare against Gayville Violin. That's at 6:45 tonight. Looking forward to that. That's all in Class B. In Class A, though, a number one seed is Miller. They'll take on Sioux Falls Christian. As Miller, a program they've only lost once all season. They've played 29 matches this season. As for Sioux Falls Christian, my goodness, they've played 37. So that's one thing that's interesting about these tournaments is you see some teams, they just have so many more matches underneath their belt, whether that's just an invite or a classic or a tournament, what have you. It's just kind of interesting to me anyway, but that's neither here nor there. 4-5, Dakota Valley against MVP. You've got Hamlin, the number two seed. They'll be taking on the seventh seed of Sioux Valley. And then 3-6 will be Del Rapids against Winner. That's in Class A. And in Double A, hey, a big shout out to head coach Jackie Bendenagel's crew. They are the only team with a quote-unquote lower seed that won in the SODAC 16. Everything else was chalk. Aberdeen Central, the 9 seed. They'll take on the number 1 seed of Harrisburg. That's at 11 a.m. at the top of the hour. 4-5 is O'Gorman versus Watertown. 2 versus 7 is Sioux Falls Jefferson against Brandon Valley, and 3-6 is Rosie against Washington. So looking forward to that matchup there with a couple of Sioux Falls squads. And as it pertains to Aberdeen Central, this is the exact same matchup they saw last year. They were the 8 seed last year. They'll be taking on the number 1 seed of Harrisburg. This year, they're the number 9 seed. And again, that is a program in Harrisburg that hasn't lost since, I believe, the Reagan administration. I mean, they have literally been absolutely on fire. Or maybe it's the JFK administration. I don't know. Either way, that team has just been absolute nails. If there's a time to get them, to hand them their first loss of the season, if Aberdeen Central could be that team, how cool would that be?
Well, it would be pretty cool. I mean, it's a tall task. I'm looking at this schedule.
Truman administration?
They've lost two sets all season.
Man.
They lost to Sioux, and the one that was locally, they lost to Sioux Falls, Washington, back on they lost 3 sets all season. 1 set to Dakota Valley, 1 set to Sioux Falls, Washington, and 1 set to some team from Omaha. Omaha Catholic.
Okay.
In Nebraska.
Yeah, that team. How good are they?
Yeah. Outside of that, they've really been dominant. So, hey, I mean, it would be a cool experience to be able to upset a team like that. But, I mean, this is going to be total coach's cliche that I'm going to say. But against a team like that, like, if you're looking ahead, you're done.
Yeah.
You got to take it 1 point at a time. Like, it's just 1 point. And, you know, maybe you can catch them off guard early start, possibly. I mean, maybe
they competed with them the first time they played them.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you can, you know, catch them by surprise early in that match.
And I think that's the biggest thing. And we saw this with Northern against SMSU, albeit in a loss. When you're down 6-0, 7-0, it's so easy. That's it. They got down 11-9. They did lose, but you got to take it 1 point at a time. And they did that day. So if you're head coach Jackie Bindenagel, that's got to be the message to the squad. Want to wish them the very best of luck down south today from Sioux Falls. We're back at it tomorrow on FSA.